summer morn, I've sighed for the fair sweet morn awakes.
Asking you particularly to
remember folks in hospital. Susan's mum, Joan Gibson, has been very unwell. She was taken in yesterday evening to the A&E in Causeway, and she's been there overnight. As far as the readings are concerned of her observations, they're normalising, but she's still very weak and needs a lot of prayer. Mervyn Taylor has had surgery. He's had his gallbladder removed, but there's been some complications there, and Mervyn's in the Causeway also. Madge McGrath is down in Antrim Hospital. She's been treated for pneumonia. Madge has got very frail, and she's also suffering with dementia. So remember Madge before the Lord. And we've been thinking about Chrissy Blair. He had his procedure on Monday, and he's more to face as far as chemotherapy is concerned in the coming day. So let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord at the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, as we bow in simple childlike faith before the throne of grace, as we draw near through the merit of Christ alone, as we seek thee in prayer at the beginning of this time together, we're seeking for the favour of God, the blessing of the Lord to be upon this people as we come to your house to pray and to study the word. We thank you for the triumph of divine grace within each one, for the moment when the conversion experience took place, when we were born of God, brought into the family, saved by sovereign grace. We thank you for the washing of the Redeemer's blood. For by faith we washed and we were made clean. We think of the great promise that God has given his word. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And Lord, you came and you washed us in the Redeemer's blood. And you made us white as snow. We've got the righteousness of Christ upon us. We have a standing with our God tonight. And thus we can come near to the throne, none daring to make us afraid. We have a man in the glory who pleads for us, who prays on our behalf. And it is the blessed Lord Jesus that we come through and we come to worship and glory in tonight. He is the altogether lovely one. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We can say that he is our friend. We think of how in the Song of Solomon, the beloved is described as the friend. We think of how in New Testament days, the Savior described himself as a friend and his people as his friends. And Lord, we have entered into a covenant relationship with our God. And we can say tonight, I am my beloved's and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. We thank thee too, not only for the grace that keeps us in this land, but we thank you for the grace that will take us to Emmanuel's land, of which we've been singing tonight. And Lord, we rejoice afresh that there is something that is far better, infinitely better, laid up for the blood-bought people of God in the world to come. The place when our tears will be wiped away, when our sorrow will be turned into rejoicing forever, when there's no sickness, no pain, when there's no turmoil, no trouble, when there's no sin, for naught that defileth shall ever enter in. We thank you, Lord, for every thought that we have of Emmanuel's Lamb, every description that you've given to us in your precious word. Lord, our thoughts have been often sweet about that which the Lord has laid up for his people in heaven itself. Keep us faithful to that day. If the Lord should come or call us, keep us faithful to that moment when we leave this life. Help us, Lord, to love thee with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength and our mind. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Help us to set our affection upon things which are above. We do remember those that have been in hospital this week. And we know that Joan needs the prayers of your people. And we know her weakness tonight and the frailty of her body and all that she's come through, especially over the past week. We pray that thou wilt be her guard, that thou wilt surround her bed in your grace and love. And if it pleases the Lord, raise her up to health and strength again. Pray for Susan and her father and her brother and the family at this time, that you'll give them grace even as they seek to be a support. You remember our brother Mervyn too, and you know the surgery that he's had, all that he's come through. And we pray for the mending of his body. You know the complications that were there, and we just pray that you'll overrule for your glory, and may he soon be able to get out of hospital. Pray for her sister Madge, and we think of her in mind and body, and she needs the Lord at this time, so frail. We pray that thou wilt be her rock, her anchor. We know that she's resting in thee, trusting in thee at this time. Encourage her in the Lord. We pray for Chrissy. Lord, you brought him through the surgery, and we pray that you'll continue to bless this young man and all that he has to face in the physical sense. And Lord, we pray for your blessing, not only physically, but spiritually, upon this man. Bring him to Christ. So bless us tonight here in this meeting hall that have gathered. Need your touch. And we pray, Lord, you'll meet us personally, individually. You know the situations that we're in. You know our personal needs tonight. And we thank you that we come to a God of great supply. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn number 40, O Worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. rest your voice. They say, how can you rest your voice when you want to sing? They say singing is the worst, and whispering, don't get that one. But even find myself, when I'm alone, especially in the car, listening to some music and some singing, and want to sing along. I'm sure that's what you do as well. And nobody can hear you. Doesn't matter, you know, that's fair enough. Nobody can hear you, but you can sing out. And this is a tremendous hymn, a great hymn of worship. Saviour's great name to the midweek. And if you're listening in on the internet, always glad to have you. Blessed at home. A few announcements to make. The Sunday School Social. Wesley's looking a 300% turnout of everyone in the church and everybody to bring one. And we're looking forward to that. Parents of the children come in. It's always a good time to hear the children and all that practicing that has gone in, all that nervous time that the Sunday school teachers have. Usually it comes together on the night, and we're hoping that tomorrow will be no different. 7:30 is the time, and we've been sharing this on social media just to make it known. Supper will be served, and ladies, we really need you to help out here, bringing the 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns. Remember the open air, 11 o'clock, centre of the town, Ballymoney, as the preaching of the word goes forth. Come and stand with us. Remember next Lord's Day, prayer meeting. Rise early, seek the Lord. The following week is Easter, and every Lord's Day is the resurrection day. Is the day that perpetually commemorates that Jesus Christ is alive. And what a great thing it is to rise and meet with him. And you'll not be disappointed. The early times are great times of prayer. And whenever Mary came and the other women and a few of the disciples to the tomb, they found it was empty. And Jesus was arisen to the glory of God. So come and join us in the prayer meeting. Sunday school's 10:30, Bible class, 11:15. Mervyn takes over for the next month as he speaks on Calvary, covers it all, and does a series in Isaiah 53. Worship service, 12 noon, followed by the Lord's table, receiving it of new members, and the office bearer's time of prayer at 5:30 p.m. Family night and friends night, 7 o'clock, Derek is coming, as we've been announcing, to testify. 6:30 is the prayer time, and these are the leaflets that have been given out. We thank Greg, who works for us, with us, on the home mission for the church, giving out so many of the invitations, and for you that have been doing the one bring one for Sunday night. Supper again will be served, ladies, not just as much, half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. To bring half a loaf off, sandwiches, okay, just in case you don't get that word that's blank. Easter celebration, we're really looking forward to the choir. They've been practicing and practicing. I got to hear them, as I said, last Lord's Day, and it's really coming together. We look forward to the performance of the Easter cantata, and we have two times when it will be done: Thursday the 6th at 8 o'clock, Lord's Day the 9th at 12 noon. And I'll also bring a short message at the conclusion of each. We will deal with the great theme of Easter, and therefore on Thursday night we will deal with the crucifixion of Christ. We'll have something to say about that. And then the Lord's Day, the 9th, we will in the morning deal with the resurrection of the Saviour, and we'll continue that theme of resurrection in the evening time of Easter Sunday. Jesus Lives is the title of the cantata piece, and these are the invitations that have been distributed. You've seen this here advertised now for the convention at the Martyrs, Friday night, Saturday night, Monday night. Just please notice the time change. The committee that's responsible for the Easter weekend met, and they had originally advertised Monday night to be 8 o'clock. But they've decided the better time, and I agree with them, at 7. If you're going to get families there, if you're going to get children there, it's better being a little bit earlier. So Friday night's 8, Saturday night's 7:30, and Monday night is at 7. We're praying for Dr. Castles as he comes to preach the word, the old rugged cross, the importance of the cross in the life of the believer. And that's not far away either, just a couple of weeks' time really, 16th to the 21st of April. We're also looking forward to the 14th of April and the 50th anniversary of Let the Bible Speak. So keep that in mind. Keep praying for these meetings that they'll be owned of God and a real blessing. And we're making another wee appeal for books and Bibles. Just in case you haven't brought them in yet, please get them in as soon as possible. And anyone seeking baptism, see me as soon as you can. Just before we bring a message tonight and show you some slides, we want to sing the hymn 568. You'll maybe not remember, some of you may, that 3 years ago, the last prayer meeting that we had, we were different in the situation here because all the chairs were spread out over the whole hall. And it was a time of mixed emotions. And we sang this hymn, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you." And that was the last meeting we had, a meeting of prayer, before our church lockdown came for quite a few weeks. So this may jog your memory. God does take care of his people, even in the dark times. And this hymn speaks about dark times in a person's life, but he's there and he's superintending everything. Think of the words as we sing.
Yeah.
verse again, unaccompanied. We'll sing it a cappella. Chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis 50, as we read some verses together. If you got my note, we sent it out to the church WhatsApp group. We said to you that we wanted to bring a message tonight and show a few slides on God's sovereignty in COVID and lockdown days. And so the wee message here, I trust, will make all things clear about what I want to say. We want to emphasize the sovereignty of God, how that God is in control. And when we come to the slides, I take a lot of pictures, okay, so I'm only going to think about 2020. All right, 2020, because there's tens of thousands of pictures to go through. But we'll come to that just in a moment or two. Let's read from verse 14 through to verse 23. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all of them went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, My father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye sought evil against me. God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And we're ending the reading there at verse 23. You remember, because we mentioned it last week, Thursday the 23rd of March, marked the third anniversary of lockdown. The coronavirus, COVID-19, had emerged for several weeks, and decisions were being made to enter into a period of lockdown to reduce the spread of the virus. Our presbytery met on Thursday the 19th of March to make a decision prior to the government's decision. It was decided that day for the safety of our congregations that we would, as church, enter into a period of lockdown with immediate effect. Because we had planned our prayer meeting, and we had got our people informed that we're having a special time of prayer. We obtained permission for our prayer meeting to proceed that night, and we gathered for a special time of intercession to commit our way unto the Lord. And it was a night, as I mentioned earlier, of mixed emotions, or it was a night of emotions and tears. Many people wept that night. Very thought that the church was going to be closed down for a period of time. The days and weeks of COVID-19 and lockdown brought difficult circumstances and some very heartbreaking situations. There was a lot of sickness. Many of you felt the impact of that. I know you did. When so many at one time, we never had the like of it ever before in the history of this church, coming down with such a serious virus that caused a lot of physical trouble. There were sad deaths, including Dr. Cairns, our beloved friend and colleague. There were distressing conditions that brought a lot of sorrow and grief. And yet, in the midst of all that was happening, we had a confident reliance upon God that He knew what was happening and that He knew what He was doing, even when we didn't. We were proving again and again the absolute sovereignty and control of an almighty God. He that was sitting upon the throne supreme, as He always does, He was working out His plans and His purposes according to His own divine will and counsel. And we had to prove, didn't we, many, many times, the truth of Romans 8:28, which is often quoted in times of great distress and need, but is there to remind us every time we find ourselves in a difficult place, all things work together for good. To them that love God, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. I will speak this evening as a pastor regarding some of my observations in coronavirus times, the things that we could count as negative and distressing, and yet at the same time things that we could count as positive, the good things that came out of COVID and lockdown days. I will endeavor to tell the story in a few minutes' time with the PowerPoint presentation. And the message that I want to convey this evening, both in the Word of God here and in what we will watch this evening, and I want to convey this message with the grace of God, is very simply, God is in control of our affairs. The Almighty is doing that which pleases Him in all circumstances of our lives. He is sovereign, He is supreme, He is sitting upon the throne of dominion and power at all times, and we do really prove the reality of Romans 8:28. And even when we cannot interpret divine providence, especially in the darkest days of life, we can still have that unshakable confidence in God. That God who is in absolute control. And if we fail to understand His will and His plan, we can be sure that somehow it is working together. It's working together, we know, for His glory, always. And it's working together, as we know from Romans 8:28, for our good. I read the passage from Genesis 50 concerning Joseph, and we notice particularly what he concluded in the situation of his life from the 20th verse. As for you, as he addresses his brothers here, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Sometimes it's not until we come to the final chapter, and this is the final chapter of this book, that we can fully trace the purpose of our great and our sovereign God. Indeed, the final chapter might even be glory itself for us, where we shall, as Mrs. Cousins put it in her hymn that we sang this evening, the hymn 595, I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned, where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Or as Maxwell Cornelius put it, not now, maybe in the better land, will read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime will understand. That Joseph could not see clearly the way ahead, change and difficult circumstances unfolded again. But misunderstood by his parents. I'm going to bow down before you, Joseph. Is that really going to happen? And they were not pleased by the dreams that he had. Conspired against by his brothers to kill him. His own flesh and blood are rising up to murder their fellow. Cast into a deep and an empty pit. Sold to the Ishmaelite merchants who were passing by. His coat of many colors dipped in the blood of a kid goat to give the impression that he had been mauled by a wild animal. Mourned and wept over by his father who thought him to be dead. Sold again into the house of Potiphar in Egypt. Lied about by an evil woman, Potiphar's wife, who sought to seduce him. Imprisoned in a dark, filthy prison. Forgotten about by the butler whenever he was released. Remember Joseph said, when it's well with thee, remember me, and he forgot all about him. Do you not think that there were times when Joseph just wondered, why has this happened to me? My brothers want to kill me, cast into a pit, sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, sold on into the land of Egypt, doing well for a time in Potiphar's home, and then meeting with Potiphar's wife and her evil seduction or the attempt. Into prison, forgotten about there. You not think he asked why? And yet God had a sovereign and a mighty plan and purpose in the midst of Joseph's adverse circumstances and experiences. You know, we read beautiful phrases throughout the story, especially in chapter 39. If you turn back to it just for a moment, notice what is stated here, chapter 39 and verse 2. Through to verse 6, let me just pick out the phrases. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. And remember, this is all in the background of the difficulties that were happening in his life, being brought away from home to a foreign nation, sold as a slave, etc. And yet God was there and prospered this man. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. The latter part of verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Sixth verse, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. The end of that verse, Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Run your eye down to verse 21, and in these closing verses of the chapter, again, the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This is a very dark place again that he's in, but what beautiful language we are reading here of God's blessing upon the man. Verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Verse 23, towards the end of the verse, the Lord was with him. The Lord made it to prosper. So if you were to give the long story short, it is simply God was with his child every day. There wasn't a moment. No, not one moment, but the eye of the Lord was upon him, guiding, superintending, ordering his steps to the place where he became the supreme ruler in Egypt under Pharaoh, and was the means of saving his family, and in fact the means of saving the nation in a time of famine, but particularly placed there by God for the good of his family. And I think that the summary of the whole story that was filled with adversity and perplexity is found in the words that I quoted to you in chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, Joseph said, You have thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Those things that seem to be most evil in our lives, the dark, mysterious, agonizing days of intense pain, what seems to be unbearable anguish and torment, are working together for our good in the sovereign providential plan of Almighty God. And those things that seem to be most evil often work out for our good also. And thus we prove, Romans 8 and 28, the all things working together for our good. Who can fully interpret or understand so many things that you and I have lived to see and witness in this world? The Ulster Troubles. How can you explain that to the widows, to the orphan children who lost their family? Policemen, soldiers, civilians, gunned down by terrorists. So some of the young people tonight really don't know about the Ulster Troubles unless you've learned it in school, or maybe you've been taught by your parents. But if you're old enough, like some of the ones sitting right at the front here, Stephen, do you remember the Ulster Troubles? You do? You're old enough. How can you explain that? How can you explain 9/11 back in 2001 and the terrorist crashed the planes into the Twin Towers and other places, so many lives lost? How can you explain, let's think of our friends that are here tonight, the Ukraine war, where many lives have been lost, and not just the lives lost and the injuries, and that's the greatest tragedy, but the displaced millions of people. And those that have had to flee to other countries, like our friends that have come our way. How can we explain the recent shooting in the Christian Covenant School in Tennessee? It's been over the news, and many of you, I know, have read about it in social media. Just think of the three teachers in their 60s, and the three children, just 9 years old. We've seen the picture of the pastor, isn't it? What I see from the picture, she was the only wee girl in the family. These three sons, but the wee girl taken at the age of 9. How can we interpret such things? And then when we think of what we're speaking about tonight, COVID-19 days and periods of lockdown that came, especially that first year, that year 2020. Satan and wicked men thought evil in all these situations. But in the midst of evil, God meant it unto good. God was able to bring blessing in the midst of tragedy and adversity. We have seen this time and time again. We don't take away from the human heartbreak of such evils. And there is a very human side. But we do trust in an infinite, sovereign God who works out his plans and purposes despite the sorrow and pain. God has a mighty, infinite plan in every circumstance of life. All things work together for good. And when God says all things, he means all things. We can see how the nice things work together, the blessed things, the things that are to our advantage, those things that make us happy. We can see they're working together for our good, but very often we're blind when it comes to the difficult days. So what of COVID-19? What of lockdown? And I just want you to keep that text in mind. I'm going to show you some of the reflections as I was looking through the hundreds of photographs that I have, thousands indeed. I want you to keep in mind that there are those who thought things for evil, and maybe we felt that evil, as Joseph undoubtedly did. But keep in mind, God meant it unto good. He has a sovereign purpose in all things. Here's the picture of what I spoke about earlier. Heartbreaking picture when we had to come in and just distance the chairs for that final meeting, that final prayer meeting. And that was on the 19th of March, the Thursday night. And we asked permission because they said with immediate effect, we said, can we not have our prayer meeting because it's planned for tonight. And this call had gone out. Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, coronavirus is a pandemic sweeping across the world. It has provoked serious thought in so many ways and minds and hearts through the nations. It is a topic preached on and prayed over. Now is the time to continue to take this national emergency to the throne of grace. At our prayer meeting on Thursday night, we will hear an appropriate word from the Lord, and as a church, we will get down to prayer. We have taken the expected precautions regarding seating. Desperate times call for the obvious measure. It is what God calls his people to do. Pray. And then we drew attention to the verses there in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, 13 to 16. This here is what broke my heart, really, as a preacher. And I know it saddened your heart too, but most of you were at home and you were just able to see what we were doing in the church. But that's what I was looking at. And just to put these messages up, which we did, we pinned them to the doors of the church. All services cancelled. Everything cancelled until further notice due to coronavirus. So that, as you know, brought about daily video casts. We had done a little one prior to that Lord's Day, but we look at the Lord's Day, the 22nd of March, as the first real video cast that was going out, and we decided to keep that up every day. The first message was a short one, very short. You're going to hear it, hopefully. I will say good morning to you on this beautiful Lord's Day. Coronavirus has shut our church buildings for public worship, but the work of God goes on. There was something very sad about putting up the signs for cancellation today. But God knows what he is doing. He's sovereign, he's in control, and we will work with divine providence at this time. Seems strange that I will be preaching to an empty church today. Good to know that many in the congregation and others likewise will be sitting at their computers, their iPads, their mobile phones, and listening in to sermon audio on Facebook. We trust that you'll be able to join us. Pray for a great day in the service of our God. We believe that in such times God can send a mighty move of the Spirit. Pray that Christ's name will be uplifted, that much will be made of him. Pray for God's people, that they will be helped and encouraged and strengthened at this time. Pray for sinners to hear the word and that they might be converted unto Christ. Continue to remember the nurses and the doctors, especially those that are on the front line and seeking to care for patients who have contracted coronavirus. Remember those that are sick with this virus. We have heard of some pastors here in Northern Ireland, some other believers who have contracted the disease. Remember, we also thank God for good mothers on Mother's Day. Children and your grandchildren safe. May there be that place where mother, father, children gather together to seek the Lord. God is on the throne. He is sovereign in all that is happening at this time. And so seek his face earnestly and continually. And may this be a day of revival and blessing despite the circumstances we are in. May the Lord bless you. And may this be a good Sabbath.
So the 22nd of March, the Lord's Day, this is how it was, going out over the internet, and that's what we preached on, coronavirus, the believer's confidence in such a time as this. And we looked at Matthew 24, the Lord's words on the second coming, especially the word pestilence, and also from the Psalm 46. Sad time, Wesley, whenever Sunday school had to close also. So we're sorry to say that due to coronavirus restrictions, we will have to cancel our Sunday school in our church building. However, we will be having Hebron Sunday School online each Sunday at 11 a.m. Children can join us each Sunday morning at facebook.com/HebronFPC. So it was good to get that out. And you'll also remember the last wedding. We were shut down the church by this. This was the Monday, and there was going to be an announcement. I think the wedding was to be on the Wednesday. They were trying to get it in before lockdown, and then word was getting out that Boris was going to have the shutdown on Monday night at midnight. And this was the last wedding. We made history, didn't we? The last wedding in Northern Ireland before lockdown came. And that's the neatest signing our life away. Hebron Youth Challenge. Susie's grown up a wee bit more since then, but that's how it was 3 years ago. And coming into the church at that time to do the recordings. Youth Fellowship went online for quite a few months as well. And this is how we saw each other in so many setups, but certainly on a Friday night. And the broader picture, FPC Kids then was formed, and messages were going out called Bible Corner, and that was going out every week. And then our workers got together and they were putting out Sunday school material as well. So we're thankful for those that were all involved in that. Some of you may remember we offered help in the community. We got these leaflets printed, and I went round door by door posting them through the letterbox that if anybody needed help, that they could contact us at the church. We also maintained some relationship with Romania, and these girls were in a lockdown as well, and in the home then they were sending us greetings. They had recorded a piece that we had taught them in English that you will now hear.
There is a flag flying high from the castle of my heart.
Second verse, but we don't need to play that for you. Great that they remembered this chorus in the English language. I don't think you and I would have done so well remembering it in a foreign language. And then we had the link up, so we were able to speak to them through an interpreter just to encourage these girls that, again, were passing through difficult times. There were lots and lots of little funny comments going about in those days. And one of them, you can't show them all, but I thought I would show at least one. All those grandparents who are missing their grandkids right now, once this is over, can have them for a month. Sincerely, a tired mum. So you can understand maybe what they were thinking about. Please stay at home. A lot of these now were done in support of the National Health Service. And we give credit to the doctors and the nurses that come through such tough times. Hebron Church wanted to encourage them a little bit, so we did send up some goodies for them to have at their break. We were able to do that, and they received them okay up there in A&E in the Causeway. We did the same for the Antrim Hospital, because we had nurses in Rebecca and Sarah in both hospitals dealing with COVID patients coming in continually. And probably like for yourself, this is how we met as families, because you weren't even allowed to visit your family and they couldn't come to you. And so we organized times when we just met up over the internet. Contacts that we had just recently had in Pakistan were nurtured and developed through COVID days. And we were able to link up, send out Bibles, and have these times of gospel preaching right out into the most remote parts through our sisters that were there. And we're thankful to the Lord for these opportunities of spreading the gospel. And in those days, the Lord saved many Pakistani people. Easter time came. We couldn't have our convention, but Mission Board decided they would have a missionary rally. I had to travel down to Ballymena and just preach to an empty church again. There were one or two people there that were operating the media side of things, but really, in the Word. But we broadcasted live from the Ballymena Church. Things hadn't changed any. These weeks we were still closed up. So for many Sundays we played, played the congregation singing hymns. At that Easter meeting we also launched the Emergency Aid Fund. And that was to help at that time, and many more were helped, but at that time in Nepal, 1,250 families, 60 pastors and their families in India, 50 families from the Glory Bible Church in Kenya, and 250 families in Emmanuel Church in Uganda. And then as time went on and the funds came in, we helped so many more. This was at the Emmanuel School in Uganda, and a lot of food arriving and the older pupils sorting it all out so that it could be distributed into Kenya. And again, these folks receiving sacks of grain and food that were distributed to help them. Pastors over in India and families, many of them were helped, and right into the land of Nepal, Brother Paul Thabi here with members of the church. And they did this often during those times when their people were suffering also and had no food. But we got the food in, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. And we still maintained our projects. This is Pakistan, drilling for water. A number of these were done in villages where there was no clean water. And through it all, the little videos who said they were a member of the Donaghadee Church, and they worked part-time in a small residential home. And just this was quite often coming through, just to thank us for putting out the daily messages. Not many were doing it at that time. And Samuel always responding to the folks. This was one from Brazil, a message from this dear man. And then we were thinking about the orphans in India, and we asked folks to pray, and we decided we would be putting together a book. But in strength of the amazing story that had happened, you remember one of the videos we put out, we said what it would cost to feed one child for a month. I think it was £6.80. At that time, we were going to feed 70. And people started to send money in long before the book was printed. And so we started this project on the strength of the gifts that came in. And then there were happy days as well, because this wee fella was born, and others were born, but this one I saw today on the photographs. Welcome to the world, Micah David Moffat. And just a little bit of information about him, his weight, the time that he was born, and all about his name. You'll remember scenes like this, queuing up outside supermarkets to get in, having to social distance. And practical things were done. Some of the workers from the school came in and painted the fence and the doors, and some tried out what it might be to have a little bit of extra hair around their face. Jonathan kept his, Mervyn got rid of his. And this room where you were sitting, it was redone during that period of time of lockdown. Gave the opportunity for a team to come in, sand it down and get it varnished. There was trimming done of the hedges and the trees at the football field. And Cassie learned to ride a bike. So that was a big achievement in our family. At that time, they could at least come down with the bike, and she's doing very well. This had a twofold purpose, as you can see. It was to teach Cassie to ride a bike, and Andrew needed the exercise. So if you ever want to get exercise, that's how to do it. Just run after a child that's on a bike and you'll get plenty. Then our young people, and Sunday school did this as well, but they did little projects for the internet.
Psalms 46 verse 1. God is our refuge
and strength,
a very
present
help
in trouble.
refuge.
And strength. A very
friend. Help.
In trouble.
I was asked to do a message for Children's Day. I think it was Tandragee. And so we wanted a live audience. You couldn't have had other children, but you could bring your own children at this stage in. And so this was my congregation. And I preached the word, and it was all recorded. And it was sent down for Tandragee to have their Children's Day and to broadcast. It was lovely whenever you could have the children back again and come to the garden at least, or take them down the road to feed the horses when they were there. So it was the 29th of June, preparation now to return to the house of God physically, and the work that needed to be done just to put the tape on the ground. And remember queuing up, all these things, going back now these months to what it used to be. Thursday night, the 2nd of July, I think that was the very first week. We closed with a prayer meeting, we opened with a prayer meeting, and that was the prayer meeting that night, because we could social distance better in the church. Then we came into the church to have the prayer meeting of the church. The following Lord's Day, the 5th of July, our elders met together, our committee, for a time of prayer. That's how it was. No seats at all, just standing there, keeping our distance the one from the other as we prayed together. Then that was the first Sabbath day, people physically again in the building. Check that was taking place, and it lasted over a period of a number of months, when folks came in to pack this 40-foot container that was then shipped out, and it was delivered to Romania into the grounds of Deborah House and just set over the fence into their property. Coming into September, the 14th of September, saw the graduation of Alex, and then his family, of course, preparing to go to the land of Spain, and that was farewell to them at the airport when they took leave of us. Coming into October, we were able to get other parts of the work back again. That was the Youth Fellowship on a Friday night. That was the Sunday School on a Sunday morning. October time is harvest time. We were able to have the harvest. Dr. John Douglas came to preach the word. And then there was a great need in the land of Nepal. You may remember this need. I can play this to you. A vehicle was needed for Paul Thapa.
The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord told his disciples Jerusalem, and then they were to branch out into the southern kingdom of Judea and eventually to the uttermost part of the earth. I can remember an interview with Dr. John Douglas many years ago when he referred to the land of Nepal and the wide open door God has given to us as reaching the uttermost part of the earth. He was referring to the remote, lofty mountain ranges of the Himalayan mountains, including Everest. Under God, the Lord has established over 100 churches and fellowships in our Nepal Free Presbyterian Presbytery. Our brother, the moderator of the presbytery, visits these churches, often traveling into mountainous regions over difficult and often impassable roads. Most of his journeys have been on motorbike, driving for hours on bumpy, twisty roads. These journeys have left him tired and not without backache, and often travel is not safe. The time has come for us to help with a suitable vehicle for rough terrain. If enough funds come in, we're hoping to purchase a small four-wheel drive car. The Mission Board and the Missionary Council are more than happy to sponsor this project. We are setting a target of £30,000. It is important that we provide safe and reliable transport for our missionaries and co-workers as we come alongside them in the spread of the gospel. I want to thank you on behalf of our mission past when we raised funds for the vehicle in Ugandan response of our people. That vehicle is now in use and has made such a difference. We issue this appeal again to raise funds initially to work in Nepal. Can I ask for two things? First of all, for your prayerful support. Remember this project before the Lord, and for your practical support that you might give towards this project, all and great, will be much appreciated. Donations can be given to your Missionary Council representative or checks posted and made payable to FPC Mission Board. You could, if desired, use the donate button on our website or contact the Mission Board office for bank transfer details. Thank you for considering this matter before the Lord. Remember, our assistance in the rope holding at home is vital support to those on the ground on the mission field as they spread the glorious gospel of Christ. We are helping by our prayerful and practical support to reach the lost in the regions beyond, even to the uttermost part of the earth.
Project for us. We had to decide on pictures that were going to be used. We decided to use the one on the right. If you remember, we had also to get a photograph for the front cover, an empty church as it was in those days, preaching to nobody there physically. And then the book arrived at the beginning of December. And these orphans are being fed every month. If I'm right, there was over £37,000 that was raised to feed these children. The team that went out had to cross rivers like this. Just in passing, Mrs. Kern, just want to mention just the great loss that we had in your husband being called home to glory in the midst of COVID days. And I've said this is one of the most testing times. But our church, for people that love Dr. Kearns, and for Mrs. Kearns in particular. Another great loss was over in Romania, this family that we got to know and to love in Moldovanoa. Their wee boy on the right-hand side, he contracted infection and he eventually went on to die off. We were sending out other girls, she has a wee baby, she's married, and we were glad to do that. We were also glad to send out food, or supply the money at least to buy the food for those in Moldovanoa, and that's the clothes that we sent out. And then near Christmas time we shipped selection boxes and the children got them. We didn't forget Pastor Sabine up in Alesht, and he was helping the families of his district as well. And right across in Pakistan, help was being given. And right across the world, in fact. And we know at the end of the year, Stephen was doing his work. Remember that, Stephen? You worked from home, didn't you? You normally come into the town, but you worked from home that year. You're behind, indeed. So just at the end of the year, we thought of that text, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that's how we finished the year. So this is just really what was happening in COVID-19 times, lockdown times. Despite all the negative side and the discouragement that it brought, God was on the throne. He was working. We were helping. We were preaching. We were giving, both locally here, in every aspect of church life, and also on the mission field. Can we sing together 43, not now, but in the better land? We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime, God, through all thy days, fear not, for he doth hold thy hand.
Mm-hmm.
his folks before the Lord in prayer. Every week we're asking you to pray for the land of Ukraine. We're asking you to pray for Sasha, Vanya's brother. And we're asking you to pray that 100 days after lockdown that has now gone to print is going to be delivered this day week, so ready for Easter, that it will be a blessing to those who receive it. And this time we're going to raise money for Pakistan, for the education of the children there, and to help poor families. So we come to our time of prayer. As we do so, we bid farewell to those that are online tonight with us. We trust that you will be encouraged by what you've seen and reminded that God's on the throne. No matter what happens in this world, God is supreme, and he's working out the counsels of his will. So we'll bow together.